Today we have a treat. I know that this man has been in our church for a while now, and I'm not standing here if God did not use this man. This man has something to do my relationship to the Lord back. Every time I'm struggling, I call him, I talk to him, ask him what I need to do, you know. And he have a way to communicate how God can talk to my heart. And he's like a brother, older brother than me. And I listen to him, the way he teach Bible study, things like that. It makes a lot of sense and make it connected. And I want to thank Bill and Linda, you know, all that hard work. God is recognizing your ministry. And this is one thing that each one of us has ministry in our church. And let your heart be open when you immerse yourself in the Word of God. That's what's going to happen. A lot of time discouragement comes because we don't know the Word. The Word is the one. And when we immerse ourselves in the Word, we become encouraged and we become powerful. That's what it is. Because God is in you, the hope of glory. I want to call now Mr. Bill. Now he's going to deliver the message. Thank you again for the ministry that you are bringing to our church.
It's so great to see the youngsters in our church. It's just wonderful. The Spirit is in this church and in the body today. Open your heart. Listen to what He tells you. You know what? Before we start, I want you to say this with me. Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. I believe wholeheartedly today that the Spirit is here and moving. And the reason why I say that is my message deals with everything that was said in music, everything that was said in the testimony, everything that Pastor Herman said up here. I feel like I should just sit down now. I'm going to speak to you today about David. And I know you've heard a lot about David, but hopefully today you'll hear about David in a different light, in a light that will help you daily in your walk with God. There's two specific scriptures that, if you want to write them down, you can. The first scripture is Acts 13:22. And then the second scripture, it's a big one. It's Psalm 51. I'll be talking on these today, but if you want to read it later on, it would be good. So how could David be considered a man after God's own heart? To understand why David was such a man, we need to see what characteristics he had to qualify for such an exalted description. And in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul speaks of God's feeling about King David. And all the scripture today will be in the English Standard Version. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. The answer to why David was considered a man after God's own heart is found right there in that verse. David did whatever God wanted him to do. But an obvious question is, how could God still call David a man after his own heart when David committed such terrible sins, including adultery, murder, and lying? We learn much about David's character in the book of Psalms as he opened up his entire life for us to examine. David's life was a portrait of success and failure, and the biblical record highlights the fact that David was far from perfect. But what made David a cut above the rest was that his heart was pointed toward God. He had a deep desire to follow God's will and do everything God wanted him to do. Let's look at these characteristics of David's life to discover what made him who he is. Part of why David is called a man after God's own heart is that he had absolute faith. Absolute faith. Nowhere in Scripture is this point better illustrated than in 1 Samuel. By the way, our small group on Wednesday night is studying 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, where David, as a young shepherd boy, fearlessly slew the Philistine Goliath. Shortly before the duel, we see direct evidence of David's faith when David says, in verse 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." When I read that verse, he had more respect for the lion and the bear than he did for Goliath. He says, "This Philistine." That's a slur. David was fully aware that God was in control of his life, and he had faith that God would deliver him from the impending danger. How else would one venture into a potentially fatal situation with such calm and confidence? We need to remember that, okay? David knew early in life that God was to be trusted and obeyed. As we see in Scripture, David's faith pleased God, and God rewards David for this faithfulness. The Psalms show David's trust in God. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "And those who knew your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." In Psalm 20, verse 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Again, David wrote more than half the Psalms. Psalm 56:11, "In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That's absolute faith, knowing that man can kill us, right? He can take our life, but it doesn't matter because of who we are and who we belong to. Psalm 125, verse 1 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." Another reason David was a man after God's own heart is that he absolutely loved God's laws. Of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, David is credited with writing over half of them. Writing at various times, often troubling times in his life, David repeatedly mentioned how much he loved God's perfect word. And we find beautiful examples of this in the Psalms. Psalm 119, 47 and 48 say, "For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees." Psalm 52, 8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever." There's going to be a lot of scripture here, but it is so powerful. Psalm 59, 10, "My God, in his steadfast love, will meet me. God will let me look in triumph on my enemies." Psalm 59, 17, "O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love." That's absolute faith in God. It is not hard to see his complete adoration for God's word. Also, notice how David meditates on God's statutes. Sometimes we hear this word meditate and we start thinking of other things, okay? Things outside our religion, things that are more pagan to us. But meditation on God's word is always been in the Bible. I mean, even when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were to study the word and brand it into their hearts. They didn't have to read it. They had it memorized. It became part of their lives. God granted David understanding and wisdom through daily meditation. we would do well not only to read God's word, but also to think about it throughout the day, for God loves us to think about him. Psalm 70, verse 4 says, "May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great." Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him and their whole heart, also who also do no wrong but walk in his ways." Yep, David was a man after God's own heart, and he was truly thankful for this. In Psalm 7:17, he says, "I will give the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. I will give thanks to the Lord due to his righteousness," not to due to some blessed thing that he gave you, okay? Due to his righteousness, he created us. We have no other choice but to be thankful to him. Thankful for a breath, amen. Thankful for everything that happens, good and bad. Psalm 9:1 says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." In 26, verse 6 and 7, it says, "I wash my hands in innocence, and I go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds." It's important for us to hear that, because a lot of times as believers, we don't report his wondrous deeds to anybody because we're afraid that people think we're crazy. Okay, well, they thought Jesus was crazy too. So if they count you crazy, you're blessed. Psalm 75:1 says, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds." Over and over and over again, he's telling God that he remembers everything that happened. And I bet he's remembering the Israelites coming out of Egypt, okay? The rock spilling forth water, the manna, the partridge or whatever those birds were that he gave them for meat, okay? David's life was marked by seasons of great peace and prosperity, as well as times of fear and despair. But through all the seasons in his life, he never forgot to thank the Lord for everything that he had. It is truly one of David's finest characteristics. And I hope that it becomes one of our finest characteristics. Because we are who we are, right? We like instant gratification. We get on Amazon and we want that thing tomorrow. Okay? And if it comes tomorrow, what do we say? Oh, thank you, Amazon. Really? We get a little carried away in our lives, don't we? Psalm 104 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." You remember that psalm. I mean, that verse, when I was a little kid, I remember having to memorize that verse. And I couldn't tell the difference between Jesus and Paul. I sat in Sunday school and I couldn't figure out who was what, okay? But I did remember that verse. As followers of Jesus Christ, we do well to follow David's lead of offering praise through thanksgiving to our Lord God. And when David sinned, he was truly repentant. David's sin with Bathsheba is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house. See, he's a king, so he can be a couch potato. So he's not doing much, right? That he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" I don't know if you know much about Uriah, but he was one of the generals in David's army. And he was a Hittite. They are the most fierce soldiers at that time there ever was, the Hittites. They were the ones that brought people out of the Stone Age into the Bronze Age, okay? They would be fighting other people who had stone swords, and when they hit him with the bronze sword, the stone sword broke in half. Okay? So these guys were tough, very tough. I'm sure David was very excited about having a guy like that as his general. So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she'd been purifying herself from her uncleanliness. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." You know, the mighty, the powerful, they fall hard. And David's fall included adultery, lying, and murder. He had sinned against God, and he admits it. We need to know that people in power are tempted so much greater than we are. There's a lot there to grab when you're in power. Money, people, everything's there before you. Just as the devil offered everything to Jesus, everything, and he turned away. Unfortunately, David fell. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has also put away your sin, and you shall not die." I don't know if you know it, but the Mosaic law said when you were caught in adultery, it was a death penalty for Bathsheba and for the king. But David does something that a lot of us won't do. But admitting our sin and asking for forgiveness is only half the equation. The other half is to repent, to turn away. And David did that as well. Psalm 51. I'm going to read this entire psalm because I think it's very important for us to hear this over and over and over again. And it's David's prayer of repentance. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and in whole burnt offerings. Then the bulls will be offered on your altar." Once we have repented and we're broken and have a contrite spirit, then God will come back to us. We can't stay haughty. We can't be the God. There's only one God. This psalm is a great prayer, and the whole psalm should be read by us and be meditated on by us. And I wouldn't do it just once a year. I think this is a psalm that you could read every day. God gave David a choice of God's judgment on him or the nation's judgment on him. And David chose God. But his punishment, the consequences of what he did were great. If you've read about him, you know that the son that Bathsheba bore was taken from him. And as this happened, his reaction to this was so horrible, people thought he had lost his mind. All right? He knew it was coming, and he stayed broken until after the child died. And after the child died, he changed. Okay? He changed. And God changed him with a new spirit. So in conclusion today, David was a man after God's own heart because he demonstrated his faith and was committed to following the Lord. Yes, his faith was tested on a grand scale and he failed at times, but after his sin, he repented and sought and received the Lord's forgiveness. In the final analysis, David loved God's law and sought to follow it exactly. As a man after God's own heart, David should be a role model for us in that respect. It is no different for us today. If we seek God, he will save us. He will forgive our sins. We must first put our absolute faith in God and God's Son, Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord," that Jesus is Lord. If you're not familiar with what that word means, Lord, you should look it up. Okay, don't use it lightly. "And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Once you put your trust in Jesus and obey all he commands you to do, you will have a heart like David, and you will reflect Jesus to all who meet you. But when you fall, not if you fall, when you fall, remember to confess your sin and turn away from it. And God will forgive you and restore you to his fellowship with the Spirit. When you fall and you repent, if you fall again for the same thing, repent again. Sometimes that nasty habit or that evil that we have is very hard to break. And sometimes God wants to see how humble we really are. Are we contrite in our spirit? Are we broken? Are we just saying this and hoping that he'll just do away with it and we can move on? Will you recommit yourself to God today? Will you allow God to test your faith starting today, to stretch that faith? You ever get up in the morning, some of us old guys like me, you get up in the morning, you start to stretch and yikes, you know? Crack, snap, pop, you know, hey, I can't get to my toes anymore. What is going on, right? Will you allow God to stretch your faith that way? It's painful. It was painful for David. He lusted after a woman. He got the woman to his place. He laid with her. She conceived and had a baby. He plotted cold-blooded murder on her husband and carried it out. We need to be broken. That's how God receives us, and that's how God forgives us, when we're broken. If there's a bit of us inside saying, I can do this, It's not going to happen. The Spirit can't work when you're in charge. Will you seek out God's forgiveness and repent from your sin in your life daily? One of the hardest things for me to do is to daily go to God and with my mouth confess those things that I did that day. Okay? When I got angry, when I decided I'll make the decision, I go at the end of the day and confess these things. But not every day. You know that. I'm not perfect. But we need to be committed to do that. These are the things that God wants us to do. And if we do these things in a joyful, obedient way, we will love God with all we have. And we will be like David. Now, I talked about David today, and it sounded like it might have been hero worship, but it's really not. Don't worship David. He's nothing. But we can look at him and take those characteristics that made him a man after God's own heart and use them so that we can come closer to God, and maybe someday we can be men and women after God's own heart. David did a lot of bad things. Don't think that if you go out and do bad things, God's going to make you a person after his own heart. That's not going to happen. Okay? I would ask that you would study the Bible more than you do already. If you do it for an hour, try to do it for an hour and 5 minutes. And then think about everything that you've read and try to incorporate it into your life. And when it gets horrible and your faith is being stretched, don't become bitter about the things that are happening to you, because all that will do is retard our growth. We need to be thankful, even for those bad things. Mercy Me has a song that says that if the pain makes me better, then I am going to dance in the rain. Okay, I'm going to look forward to the storm, and that's what we need to try to do. We fail miserably a lot of times, but each one of us here has got another person beside us that we can go to and be lifted up. Okay, and Pastor Herman talked about that, and Pastor Herman talked about the faith and talked about thankfulness and forgiveness, and all the songs we sang today are the things that I spoke of now. So I would ask that you pray about this. And those things that have really stuck out, even some of the things that might have made you a little angry or really angry, pray about it. And I bet you're going to find out that that's what you need to do. Those are the things God wants you to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. And may you put a blessing on it to each one here. Father, I am grateful to be able to stand here and deliver your words. And Lord, I'm asking you that if I in some way have missed something, Lord, that you would forgive me for that, for it was not done on purpose. And Lord, I would ask that your Spirit would be abundant in each one of these people today that's in here. And those that are not here, Lord, I'd ask that the Spirit still be abundant to them, Lord. Father, I know that you love us. And I know that you never leave us. We may turn away from you. We may walk away. But you're always there with us. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for this church. And I'm so grateful for my wife and my children, Lord. And I'd ask that you would put your grace and a blessing upon this body. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.